What would you sacrifice for revenge against those who destroyed your life? For Juniper Kynes, the answer is everything, even her immortal soul. 3 years ago, the Libiri cult in the town of Abalam tried to sacrifice her to their ancient god, the Deep One, throwing her into the abandoned Blackheart Mine. She clawed her way out with bleeding fingers, only to be labeled delusional when she tried to expose the truth. Now, her brother Marcus has been murdered by the same cult, and Juniper returns to Abalam with nothing but weapons, rage, and a desperate plan. What she doesn't expect is to catch the attention of a demon named Zane, a soul hunter with silver eyes, ritual scars, and his own centuries-old vendetta against the Deep One. When darkness calls to darkness, sometimes the monster under your bed becomes your only salvation. I want your help destroying the Libiri, Juniper tells Zane, rain soaking her clothes as they stand in the forest. I'll give you my soul. But Zane wants more than just her soul. He wants her body, her pleasure, her submission. Their bargain is sealed with blood and desire, his name carved into her flesh with supernatural aether that binds them together. What begins as a transaction quickly becomes something neither expected. As Juniper's soul becomes tied to Zane's, they begin feeling each other's emotions, developing a connection that transcends their arrangement. The hunt begins with recovering Marcus's body from White Pine Mine, the very place of Juniper's imprisonment. Inside, they find his corpse surrounded by pale, mushroom-covered creatures called golems. When these servants of the Deep One attack, Zane fights ferociously to protect her, revealing both his power and his growing attachment. For Juniper, this confirmation that the horrors she witnessed were real provides its own kind of validation. She wasn't crazy after all. Their investigation reveals the cult's accelerating plans. Jeremiah Hadley murdered Marcus as part of a ritual requiring 3 souls given, with 2 more sacrifices planned. They find an unexpected ally in Everly Laverne, daughter of Kent's mistress, who warns that if the Libiri completes their sacrifices, the Deep One will manifest on Earth, ending humanity. They ambush Kent Hadley during a Halloween party. After removing his protective amulet, Juniper takes him to an isolated garden shed for her revenge. "You thought you threw a lamb down into the dark," she whispers as she slits his throat. "You didn't. You threw down a wolf, and I came back biting." Rather than leaving her empty, this vengeance fills Juniper with a sense of justice. To celebrate, Zane takes her to a clan, a secret demon nightclub where supernatural beings indulge their darkest desires. Here, Juniper embraces her connection to Zane, allowing him to pierce her tongue with black onyx in a ritual that marks her as his. She reclaims her sexuality on her own terms, transforming past pain into power and pleasure. Their victory is short-lived. Juniper witnesses Victoria being sacrificed at St. Thaddeus Cathedral, partially manifesting the Deep One, an ancient entity of unfathomable horror that possesses Jeremiah's body. His flesh ripples with otherworldly power, his eyes become bottomless pools of darkness, and his voice carries echoes of countless screaming souls. As the situation grows desperate, they target Meredith Hadley next. In her opulent study, Zane performs his feeding ritual, drawing out her corrupted soul, while Juniper slits her throat with the same ceremonial dagger used in the original ritual. Their actions create a beacon that draws a reaper, a towering figure of shadow and bone, whose scythe cuts through reality itself. The battle showcases their growing partnership through perfectly coordinated attacks. Juniper cleverly repurposes Kent's protective amulet, breaking it into shards for her shotgun shells, each fragment glowing with centuries-old magic. Though they drive the Reaper away, both emerge wounded, knowing they've only delayed the inevitable confrontation with something far worse. The Hadley Mansion's grand foyer becomes a battlefield for the final showdown. Jeremiah's transformation is complete and horrifying, his human form splitting open to reveal writhing tentacles, his skin weeping black ichor that corrodes everything it touches. The air thickens with the stench of ancient seas as surviving cult members gather to witness their god's arrival. Standing amid the chaos, Juniper embodies the transformation from victim to avenger. The final shot from her enchanted weapon strikes true, banishing both Jeremiah and the nearly manifested god back to the void. In that moment, the suffocating weight of fear and hatred that defined her existence for years begins to lift, though the deep scars of her trauma remain. "Did you feel it?" Zane asks afterward, his silver eyes reflecting moonlight. "The moment your soul began to heal?" Juniper nods, unable to describe the sensation, like a decade-old knot finally unraveling in her chest. They leave Abellum's blood-soaked memories behind, choosing Vermont's rolling hills and dense forests for their new home. 6 months later, subtle yet significant changes mark Juniper's progress. The gun, once kept under her pillow, now rests in a locked safe. She still startles at unexpected noises, but no longer reaches for a weapon. In therapy with Dr. Sarah Chen, who specializes in supernatural trauma, she now cries openly, something she once considered unforgivable weakness. "Healing isn't linear," Dr. Chen reminds her. "Some days will feel like victories, others like steps backward into darkness. Both are part of the journey." Zane remains unwavering, his immortal patience matching his devotion. He recognizes her panic attacks, knowing when to hold her close and when to give her space. Their relationship has evolved beyond their initial bargain into something deeper, built on mutual understanding of each other's darkness. What makes their connection work is precisely what would make it dysfunctional in a human relationship. They both embrace their darkness rather than suppressing it. Juniper will never be who she was before the Liberia attack, but she's become stronger, more determined, and capable of both great violence and great love. "Have you ever seen shattered glass catch the light?" Zane asked Juniper. "How it shines as bright as the sun?" This metaphor becomes their truth. Juniper's broken pieces aren't flaws, but evidence of her strength. The novel blurs lines between savior and demon, suggesting that monstrous-seeming beings often offer the greatest salvation, while respectable appearances can mask dark intentions. The true monsters weren't demons with fangs and claws, but humans like the Hadleys, who sacrificed others for power. Their carefully cultivated personas, charitable donations, church attendance, community leadership, masked a ruthless willingness to destroy lives for personal gain. Her soul for revenge reminds us that healing isn't about erasing darkness, but learning to wield it alongside light. Juniper sold her soul for revenge, but gained something unexpected. A home not in a place, but in a person who accepts all of her, broken pieces and all. Sometimes profound healing comes from embracing who we've become, scars, darkness, and all.